Welcome to the Brother Streep Show. In this week's episode, I share a painful story about a Johnny Clegg concert.
I'm talking about ghouls and ghosts.
And there's a little game with Martin Evans. What? Enjoy.
Welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Streep Show. Welcome to the Brother Streep Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
And I am Andrew.
I've not been around for these last two podcasts. I'm in Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Hectic. It's quite cool. It's hard to say because obviously I'm recording this now while I'm there, which is weird. But I'm no doubt on a beach somewhere in the rain or shine because I've traveled all that way.
Oh, you're not really going to sit though on a beach when it's raining.
Not with all this podcast equipment, you're not.
Well, how's it in Cape Town?
What's been cool is ever since you left, it's just been bucketing with rain. And they've said that there are no more water restrictions.
Hooray!
So I've gone back to my old habits of just putting on the hose pipe.
Yeah, make it like a snake. Turn it on hard enough, it becomes quite fun.
I just like to keep it on in case I decide to go outside and have a run through the sprinkler.
Yeah.
But I normally don't. I just leave it on. It's quite nice. It's quite soothing. It sounds like a river. So when I go to sleep at night, I always have it on. So it's just like... Oh, it's nice to know that it's tranquil.
Yes.
So I can do that again. So yay
but
for me.
But he refuses to flush the toilet.
No, I'm kidding. Water's probably actually run out, so don't come back.
Okay, I'll stay here. Yeah. Running through the sprinkler, that always... it kind of tears one in... Oh, well, hopefully not. It kind of sounds like fun, but when you're doing it, it also feels like very... what's a politically correct way of saying welfare? It's like, here's a fun thing to do. Just turn on a sprinkler and run through it for hours.
Okay. Let's stop there a little bit because I don't think people are deliberately turning on the sprinkler just to run through it. I think it's more...
Of course they are.
It's on. And so that's why it's opportunistic.
No, you would never water your garden at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, that's a terrible
time.
It's like
Saturday, put the sprinkler on. The kids are going to get in your costumes and go have fun.
Yeah, it's going to cool down.
We had a swimming pool, so I don't...
The bourgeoisie are here.
If we were running through the sprinkler, it was because...
The aristocrats are here.
Anyway,
just don't sit down on one, I'm saying from experience.
Fair enough. You're in Thailand now, which is quite nice. You're creating all these Facebook memories.
Yeah.
I've realized something about Facebook memories, and that is they're quite... depressing in some ways because just remember how great the past was. It's not you kind of, the whole idea is that you only normally take photos of things when you are experiencing something that is quite exciting.
That's true. Yeah,
very like, whoa, it's never happened before, and it's normally the exciting news that gets the kind of likes that would push something to come up as your Facebook memory. So basically you're just filling your life up with all these incredible things that happened
in the past.
Any day that was not on the current day that you're busy looking at
them. That's true, because the day that you are looking at them, you're no doubt, the fact that you're looking at them means you're bored at work.
Yes, yeah.
It's not like you're looking at them on a day that you're on a roller coaster.
Totally. And it'd be a different story if Facebook memories were like, hey, remember what you did yesterday? Because then at least you're like, hey, my life is awesome.
I'm having
look
a great
at my
week.
This is the best.
Yeah.
But it's never like, oh, yeah, here's what happened yesterday. It's always like, oh, look how great your life was 7 years ago.
That's so funny. 7 years ago. Is that because all the Edinburgh stuff's coming up at the moment?
Pretty much.
That's just funny. There's a picture of us hanging out with Noel Fielding that keeps popping up. And it pops up every year around August. And like,
doesn't that make you feel good?
It makes you feel good, but I can't help, I don't see Noel Fielding's face anymore. I just see how many years ago it was. It just keeps ticking on. I'm like,
think about Noel Fielding. He's like 10 years older than us.
Why is there no more memories of meeting Noel Fielding since then? That's what I want to know.
I've thought of something, like a clever way to get around this though. And that is, but I'll need like your help. I need everyone's help actually.
Okay.
Is you just start documenting the really, really normal, mundane things. And then you get all your friends to like it.
Yeah.
And so all the year through, you'll get things like, hey, remember this 2 years ago? You were at your computer. Yeah, I'm still on my computer. Life is great.
Yeah, that's quite a good idea. Beat the algorithms.
Yeah.
Simon, I was driving near to your house recently, and there was a big sign up saying knife show.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if anyone brought a gun to that, what would happen?
That's very good.
Is that it?
That's it.
What was the knife show about?
I don't know. I presume, you know, you can bring your knives and you can have a look at knives. It's not the sort of place that I would feel safe in.
I found it really strange recently. I went to that biscuit mill market thing that people go to are cooler than me. And I decided I'm going because I want to see what it's all about. See what these kids are talking about.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was happy there. They had lots of nice food and free things. People offered you tasters. That was good.
Ooh, that's nice.
And you're walking up and down the aisles and it's like German waffles and blueberry this and fudge that. And then just knives.
Really?
Like, yeah, just like massive knives next to the donuts kind of thing.
You see, now why are you allowed to sell knives at a market?
But not guns.
Not guns.
Because this is South Africa and not... America. The United States,
But I mean, a knife is, you know, a well-placed knife can do a lot of damage.
Especially if you load it into a gun and shoot it.
Oh, you remember in cartoons when people were angry, they would literally show the daggers. You know, you're looking at someone with daggers.
Staring daggers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they would up it to like tanks if they were really angry.
I don't think I ever saw that.
No,
this was a particular episode of one cartoon you happened to watch once.
No, it was a Beano. Beano magazine did that all the time.
Oh, you mean like old comics that your dad used to read?
Yeah.
That I used to read. I kept up with the times in my childhood.
What was your favorite character from the Beano series of comics?
I like Dennis the Menace.
Ah, sell out. No matter what you said,
fine,
there, I was
going to
go. Fine,
Nasher then, whatever.
There we go.
You like Nasher. You like Nasher, but he was part of Dennis the Menace.
What about Minnie the Minx?
It was famously called Dennis the Menace and Nasher. That's you just picked the same comic and focus on a different character.
Minnie the Minx. There's another one.
The Minx. What was he, Quickdraw or somebody? I don't know if he was though. He could have been the other one. What's the
Dandy?
Dandy. You could have been in
I'm
Dandy.
I'm more Dandy than Beano.
I'm shooting tanks at you.
I can see that.
There was a guy that used to like draw and then like his drawings would come to life and he'd be able to like interact with them.
Yo.
I kind of like the highbrow stuff.
Swimming pool, by your swimming pool watching your highbrow comics.
I'd like that guy to come on and do the sketch show. Guys, remember that thing we used to do on this podcast?
I like the fact that Andrew said watching your highbrow comics because Andrew couldn't read.
No, I think Andrew thinks you were so la-di-da in your childhood that you had servants who would flip the pages for you so that it became like a little flip book.
Do the voice, Sylvester.
I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I'm no longer a safe human to be around.
Oh, no. Yeah. Did you buy one of those knives?
Didn't buy a knife.
Do you have one of those hoverboards that explodes?
I don't have one of those hoverboards that explodes. Or whatever you were trying to say.
That was it.
I left the stove on.
Oh, no. What?
No.
Oh.
Ages ago.
Oh.
I've turned it off. I went out and I left the stove on. I mean, isn't that... This is like something that comes up all the time.
Yeah,
this is the number one reason to turn your car around.
Did you have that moment when you were you out and
This is the thing. I left the stove on.
Yeah.
I came home, the stove was on and everything was fine.
Oh.
And it's not teaching me any good life lessons.
Now, I must confess, Dylan, that this happened to me recently as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would say that I did learn one life lesson.
Yeah.
And that is your room does get a little bit hotter when you come home. When I walked to the kitchen straight away, I was like, "Ooh, it's a bit hot in here."
It's a good way to heat up the room.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was hotter than it should be, but it was by no means heater hot. And it had been on the whole day.
Okay.
So I think in order to really heat up a room, you'd need to have that bugger on for like a week.
Just jumped on the back of my story with I left the stove on for longer than you. This is my story about leaving stoves on. I just think like, you know, I don't want my place to burn down.
No.
But if like movies and sitcoms really anything to go by, I would have come home and there would have been smoke, black billowing smoke.
I think it's because it's usually you've left the stove on, but you've also left something on the stove.
They never say that though. They never go, "Oh, I left the roast in." They go, "Oh, I left the stove on."
How did you do that? How did you leave it on with nothing on top?
What I do is I cook sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I take the thing off so that I can eat it.
Okay.
And then I turn the little, the knob.
You just turn,
it turns off. And then I obviously failed to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
so how
boring
long,
questions get boring answers.
So how long did you, podcast. In total, how long did you leave the stove on for?
It must have been like 2 hours maybe.
Amateur. Amateur.
Yeah. My room wasn't even hot.
I'd boiled my eggs. I had taken the eggs off. That's how I actually ended up taking the thing off the stove, was because I like to, you know, eat what I've cooked afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took it off the stove.
Typically,
I went to work.
You end up taking it off the stove and then
turn
the thing off.
I went to work. I did my whole day of work. Came home.
Whoa. Hold on. Hold the phone. Stop this story in its tracks.
Yeah.
You're taking boiled eggs to work.
Oh, yeah. We know this. We've spoken about this before. He's that guy.
That's not nice of you. Is that why you left the building, Andy?
Big time.
You needed to go to a more air-conditioned area.
Guys, I won't lie. My eggs this week have been particularly rank. I don't know what has happened to these chickens, what trauma they've been through in their life. They've taken something that is already a fairly stinky object,
yeah,
and they've managed to make it stinkier. These eggs, like the moment you start peeling them, start wafting in the air.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Really something awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it still tastes fine.
How have you not like got kicked out by your office?
Because currently, we're hoping this will change at some stage, but currently the office is mainly full of boys. And so they bring their own kind of smells into the room anyway. So
it becomes a nice kind of melting pot of smells.
So currently it's not too bad. No one really does complain. I think it's because I normally get in there quite early and I eat them quite early and then it's done.
So they just think that's the office smell. It's like, they didn't even see the eggs.
I mean, possibly. I understand if it's like a gas stove. And it's on and the flame's been left on.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be dangerous because there's an open flame. But even so, is an open flame by itself dangerous?
Well, if it gets blown out and there's gas running in the house.
No, but they make kill switches for that these days. If you have a power out and the thing blows it out, then it can be
some
a
stoves
problem.
Also don't show that they're hot. They don't glow red.
Yes.
And so then you could put your hand down and fry your hand.
Oh, have you ever done that before?
No.
I've done that before.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Why? It's because I obviously thought I was going to just lean down on the stove.
Which is weird. Like, you never really... Well, I guess maybe that's why you don't lean down on the stove.
I'll tell you what. If you needed somewhere to rest, there's always like a bathroom just a couple rooms down. Last week, we were talking about sitting on toilets.
That's true. No, I genuinely once was very sore. Just went to kind of go lean against and singed my fingers or hands. I mean, I didn't like leave it there. I wasn't that determined to lean. I wasn't like, I'm just going to keep my hand on there.
It wasn't that hot.
Even though the pain is there. No, it was very hot. I just whoosh, whipped it up straight away.
Because they say with like an electric shock, sometimes you can't let go of the thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't the same thing happen
so
with
boorish.
Heat? Yeah. Another good shock. Yum, 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 yum. Maybe with heat, it would be like, okay, I'm stuck here now. It's become wax.
Yeah.
My skin has become waxy.
melted onto the stove.
Anyway, so I left the stove on. Nothing happened. Kids, it seems it's fine. You can do it.
Talking about pain, I went to a Johnny Clegg concert.
What?
That's a very...
a while ago.
That's a very loaded link.
Yeah.
It's not actually an accurate link. There are a few things that happened at the Johnny Clegg concert. First of all, it was really good.
Okay, so you do like Johnny Clegg.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like seeing him was a pain.
The pain is coming later.
Okay, all right.
It was open.
Like a swift kick to the balls. The pain comes later.
It was the opening act was a lady from America.
Ladies from Black and Boss.
It sounded like... but she sang a song where she yelped like a wolf numerous times through the song. It was very unusual.
Can you do a little example of what it sounded like?
It was literally something like that.
Did she have dreads?
No, she didn't. She had a kind of a like straight hair over her eyes, so you couldn't see her eyes.
Hmm. Was it
and then she made some what seemed like fairly culturally inappropriate references to Native Americans.
Really?
Yeah.
And she definitely
and like
wasn't
beating a drum and stuff.
Hmm.
It was very unusual. Anyway, Johnny Clegg was great.
I mean, that's what you're going to get at Johnny Clegg consider someone that is not from a certain culture pretending he is.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of bongos at a Johnny Clegg concert.
Well, all I can say is that Johnny Clegg is the consummate professional to the point where between songs, you know, he's getting on now, and he's, you know, his health isn't as good as it used to be, but he, you know, this is his final tour.
Yeah.
So he takes breaks in between songs and he chats to the audience to kind of catch his breath.
Yeah.
All right. And so he's taking a break in between a particularly vigorous song, he's talking to us, and the bassist falls off the stage. So there's these kind of like raised platforms where like the drums are and the bass is on one.
Yeah.
And he clearly, there was a chair behind him, and he went to sit on the chair, and it just like fell off the back.
Oh no.
Johnny Clegg does not bat an eye. He just carries on talking, doesn't make a comment, barely looks at the dude. Like, some random stagehands had to go and help him.
Is that because the band is Johnny Clegg, and it's not like, you know, Johnny Clegg is part of this band called Broken Chair or whatever? That's a bit too specific. But, you know, sometimes when it's like just a guy, he's just got hired hands behind him. He doesn't really care about them.
Well, he clearly didn't. The bass made a massive noise when it fell off as well. And so he didn't care that it might have been out of tune or anything.
Oh,
he
was just the like, bass fell off. Well, who said the bassist fell off?
Yeah, the bass and the bassist.
Both.
He was holding the bass when he fell off.
Oh, man.
It was very funny.
Are you sure? Are you sure that he
ups and downs?
Are you sure that he fell off and he wasn't just searching for the spirit of the great heart?
Oh, well, he didn't find it. That's for sure.
Okay, so is that where the pain came in?
That's where the pain came in.
You weren't in pain at any time, just from laughing.
Well, just from laughing, yeah.
Right. Nice one. Speaking of people being up on stage and laughing a lot, that's two separate things.
Wow.
We spoke to comedian Martin Evans recently.
Cool.
And we played a little game with him. Let's listen to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for our special guest today.
All right. It's time for a game.
Okay.
You say that you moved slightly out of comedy, but you still very much seem to be in adverts.
Yes.
So this game is called Are There Even Any Ads That Martin's Not In's? Or something. I tried really hard to come up with a pilot.
Oh, wow. You printed
work.
This out.
Yeah,
and
this
everything.
Is good.
This is amazing.
Wow. Okay, so there's about 10 ads here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the, what's it called? The kind of catchphrase or the slogan at the end of the ad. And
oh,
then
my goodness.
I'd like to see if you can describe or identify the ad. Because I take it when you're in a 30-second ad, you put your life into it, you know, you're really invested in the product.
Sure, completely.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
I would actually the foreign ones.
I was going to say, interesting. This will be interesting because I've got like 50 commercials. A lot of them are worldwide brands that you would know exactly. Oh, that's for that thing.
Yeah,
some of them
are
like I can't even Google search for them. I don't even know what I am.
What's quite fun is that a lot of them are like the standard 30 seconds long. And it almost becomes like a Where's Wally search because there's so many cuts and so many characters. I'm like, I know Martin's in this, but I haven't seen him yet.
Wait, there he is. Pause. God, he's quite fat in that one, isn't he?
Yeah. Okay. So I've just dropped it. Let's start again.
Right.
There's a new money in town.
Oh, that's PayPal.
It is PayPal.
That's good. Are you going to do the Martin voice, though?
Well, the thing is, Martin doesn't use his voice.
My voice is not in any TV commercials.
There is one.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, there's one. We'll get to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, so that's one. Believe in. That's the kind of voice of the ad.
Believe in.
Believe in.
Jesus. Have I done an advert for the church?
I don't remember that.
Miracle Grow.
All right. Well, it's close enough. They're miracle.
Okay. Extraordinarily tasty. Any ideas on that one?
Extraordinarily tasty. Have I done it? Sounds like Kipling's pies or something. No, I don't know.
It's Sunbites.
Are Sunbites?
This is cereal.
They're like a little cereal thing.
No, it was
actually quite a cool ad. Is that cardboard thing?
Oh, yeah. I was hardly in that. It's like one of those things where you shoot for the whole day and then you're like, I'm in it for long enough to get usage. Thank you.
What's the longest you've ever been on set for the shortest appearance?
I did an advert for a company called Wüstenrot, like a financial services for Austria or something.
Mm.
Slovenia.
Well, it's not on
17
my
hours.
17 hours.
With my head attached to a boom pole so that they could do... what do you call it? you know, like frame by frame photography, like sort of
stop motion,
where this haircut that I had, the hair would get shorter and the beard would get longer, whatever it was. Meaningless. The biggest ego wank project I've ever been on
the
in my life.
It would get longer.
Oh, no, that's right.
It would take longer than 17 hours.
But it was a terrible budget for the wigs and the prosthetics. It didn't look good. It was just so bad. Although, equally, I've done some pretty rough jobs. I cycled. I was in the ABSA investment.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Let's do all the stories when we get to these ads.
100 kilometers of cycling a day.
For 1 second.
Oh, it was hard, eh?
That's a great ad. I really like that one. I really like that one in my notes. Okay, let's do another one. Every little helps. Everyone knows this.
Every little helps.
That's some
Tesco.
Sort of
Tesco.
Yeah, right. Tesco.
2 points to Martin. This one I really like because it reminds me of another ad that I remember from my childhood. Probably the best beer in the world.
Carlsberg.
Isn't that just a great slogan?
Yeah, that was actually...
Probably the best beer in the world.
That is the best advert I've ever been on. They had, I think it was about 70 models.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about just attractive local girls. These were foreign, international models on this job. And it was me and three dudes being, oh.
This is the one where it's like, we don't do gym.
Yeah, exactly. Sexually a little bit, shall we say, you know, sexist. That's what it was, sexist. Yeah. Girls in hot pants and tops, and we're doing like sit-ups into their cleavage and stuff. And I'm going to say right now that I'm actually getting quite aroused remembering this.
Well, you do a sit-up into a cleavage because
I was on an exercise bike and this like hot lass is just paging over for me in a magazine whilst I sort of read it nonchalantly.
I thought maybe everyone did everything and they chose the best cut.
I
didn't get the cleavage.
They looked
shot.
At me and went, this is not a man for sit-ups, even into tits. We don't want
to
kill him.
You might be able to answer this question that I've always wanted to know. And that is, in these scenarios, if you're an actor and you're around something that ordinarily would be sexually alluring, do you get aroused? Or are the lights and the people there and everything else enough to sort of add to it?
I can actually give genuine context to that because I was in Black Sails, like pretty much most people in Cape Town at some point. And so, you know, look at me, little unique wallflower. And originally I'd cast in a role where once you're agreed on a project for another project, it's very difficult to get you out of a project. The other person owns you. You know, you're that first option's with them. And they changed some shoot days and Black Sails and my role changed. And I came back and eventually got this pretty cool. It was only one episode, but I mean, I'm in like a little chatty chat for like five, six minutes, right?
Nice.
So my character, my mum and dad have not seen this. Okay. In the modern era, like watching Game of Thrones, your parents isn't necessarily everyone's cup of tea kind of thing. And this is one of these blood, guts, gore, and tits kind of TV shows.
Yeah.
And my role is the son of the, you know, the governor of St. Kitts or whatever it is. I'm some spoiled guy. And they've got two wenches who are on their knees fellating me in this in this thing. And the script is pretty, I mean, it's an aggressively sexual show.
Yes.
You know? There's no visible things. I'm not nude. It's assumed,
acting.
Right?
Yes. Okay.
But it's outdoors and it says, like, I mean, some of the stuff in it is pretty, like, he finishes roughly. Like, you know, okay. So I'm in the scene with these two girls.
Can we quickly pause there? Did you have any debate in your head of like, should I do this or should I
I actually turned down the first role that came through to me because of the gratuitous nature of the language.
Yeah.
I didn't really think it was necessary. And then after a season had gone through and I'd seen that it was just a filthy program.
Yes.
And so the scene, the two girls were, they were clothed, but so we say semi-naked, and they've got to go up and down on me, so to speak.
Okay.
Right? And it was freezing cold, and this one girl's tit kept bouncing off my knee constantly. And it was like, it's a nice tit. This isn't unpleasant, but this is work. This isn't.
Yeah.
And I'm from her perspective too as well. I mean, she was an extra getting a featured extras rate. So she, like, this is nothing, you know, and I'm sitting there going like, this is, did I get a chubby? No. Was I about to get one? No, because I was thinking comfortably about the fact that there's 300 people on set here and I all filming me and this would be
And you said it was really cold.
Yeah. So I'm desperately keen not to get a chubby and them to go like, is that it?
Well, that's good. Because I assumed that would be the case, but it's good to know. It's good to know.
But I mean, like, I'm not an actor, right? I never got into something to do this. And I'm not a prude, but I'm also someone who's quite shy in the same respect. And, you know, okay, in the scene, you're just going to look her in the eyes, tell her you love her and kiss her.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, I can act it. But deep down inside, I would be shitting myself because that's an emotion that I don't
imagine.
Do you know what I mean? And if someone said, you know, be rough with her, I'd be like, I know this is acting, but it's so not me that it's actually quite like, okay, I'm not really...
Yeah.
Or like, and again, I'm not homophobic, but if someone says you're in a gay scene, I'd be like, wow. This... is taking the reality of life into a space that you're acting.
Yeah.
But are you committed to being an actor? If you can say, yeah, I'll find a problem. And then what does he do? He bends me over. Okay, that's quite graphic.
Rob from Fearing would do it.
Rob has done it in auditions for roles that didn't exist. Okay.
Yeah, I think all that stuff, there'd be no sense of pride necessarily. You'd be like, that was awkward having to do that.
But you know what I mean? Like, so like if someone was to approach me for a role and I'm being more mature about acting now and someone said, look, you know, the character is a middle-aged gay man.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, look, I don't mind acting, but I would be more embarrassed about hamming it up and being a terrible camp sort of stereotype than being a gay guy in a role. Yes. That wouldn't bother me. But if someone says, look, you know, you're gonna have to kiss, you know, somebody, I'd be like, oh God, is the role that much important to you? I've not seen something yet that no one's ever offered me anything so deep and meaningful that I've had to consider those things and go, wow. Have I been involved in possible commercials where I said, I'm not going to do that? There's brands where I go, no, I'm not interested in being a, you know, in some shitty insurance commercial and being...
Hold on, I've got it on the list. Shitty insurance commercial.
Here we go. Maybe I'll
forget. You turned your back. All right, let's carry on quickly with this. How many ads is modern on? delicious yogurt your way.
Was that? No, that was Muller.
It was Muller.
Muller, yeah.
Okay. Just in the nick of time.
Yeah,
Bridget Christie has a great little rant on Muller yogurt.
Really?
You guys will look it up. It's on Netflix. Go watch.
I'll do that.
Oh, wait,
it's one of those fun like corner yogurt.
I just found out cause back in Scotland now, my family, that was an advert in the UK. So anything that's been UK flighted, my family has seen all this shit. Apparently, and like, okay, so they made me look like a bit of a knob in the Muller advert. Hair's all done, silly little round glasses, and I drive a tractor around in circles, right? Apparently, I didn't realize this, I was a billboard in Glasgow.
That's awesome.
And all my cousins, like, well, they were all like, to them, they're kind of like proud. So, there's my cousin, there's my wee cousin. And I'm like going, I was a billboard for Muller.
The Muller farmer.
Oh, the shame.
Okay, let's try one that's not from this country. Der Transporter, Das Original.
VW.
It is VW, Volkswagen.
I know because there's a transporter, VW transporter. Yeah.
I think that's my favorite ad of you because you are the star of that ad. There's so much going on and it's like one of those emotional, everyone's like in love with their car. And then right at the end, you just like open your garage door and look in and give it a little wink. It's like you're really the kicker to the ad.
Nailed the wink.
I love
it. That's a wrap, people.
Okay, this is one that you've already mentioned, but it's Start With What You've Got.
Start With What You've Got.
They just mentioned that in the ad. It's probably not the official slogan, but it's that ABSA one started with the body you had.
Oh, right,
and you joined the Argus cycle team or something.
The only advert, but my mother actually asked me if I was in a fat suit for it. And I said, no.
Oh, nice.
That's your son in Lycra.
Oh, boy. Did you lose weight in shooting that ad?
Strange story was because I had a bad motorbike accident about a year before that had happened. And I had the X-Fix had been out for about 6 months. I have done absolutely zero anything at that stage. I was able to walk.
Yeah.
And I was broke because I'd spent a year healing. And when commercial season started up again, I was like, I'm desperate to get some work.
Yeah.
This commercial came through. I've never had to put in the physical effort like I had to for this. We involved training on bikes and everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've done the Argus once before, very casually. Completed the course.
Yeah.
I ride a bike. I enjoy it.
I've delivered the Argus before.
Paper
round.
And then when we got to this thing, it's like when you shoot an advert and they want to show you struggling up hills, they don't just film you once going up hills. They do the whole day filming hills to get that shot.
Until it's realistic.
Yeah. So it wasn't a question of like, I can quit now. I'm going to pull over and have a break. There's a whole crew. It was, I was really stressful, and that's, I was worried my leg was up for the job.
It's quite a risk for the production team to actually have taken you on for that.
Had the production team truly known?
Okay. So
if they'd truly known, I actually think, to be quite honest, they wouldn't have selected me.
A bit
me.
Of a secret and that I you kept just spent it. A year in atrophy.
Yeah, I said to them at the time, like, just so you know, I've got some pretty bad scarring on my leg. Yeah. You know, yeah. We'll be fine. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, right, another one from abroad. Ja, vakanta begint hier.
Good luck.
That's the Netherlands, and I know I did one last year, the year before, for Zoover.
It is Zoover.
Yeah, Zoover.
I like this. I thought maybe you'd just be like, I show up, I don't know what the idea is. Where do I have face?
It's kind of strange you said that, because I'm trying to think of, there's at least 10, 15 commercials I've done that I wouldn't be able to tell you who they were for. But they're all like, they are on a list, and I know that when I have to go off for various jobs, I have to produce this sort of CV.
Okay.
So they know that if it's conflicting territories or brands and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let's see if this one conflicts. I'm going to try my very best French accent. Vous êtes prêt pour demain?
I have no idea.
Le gaz naturel.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was for Belgium. For Belgium.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
So you threw me with that little French.
Surely vous and prêt and all of that is,
it's still French?
French,
but it was for Belgium.
French, Belgium. Okay. Yeah. My favorite out of all time, genuinely, and you're in it, we may not be related, but we are brothers.
Oh, look, that's Castle Heroes.
Love it.
That was a cool advert.
That's genuinely such a cool ad.
Oh, cheers. I've
never
that.
Like, seen that.
It's five dudes, like, all in different scenarios, watching the game, trying to get Martin to run on a treadmill.
Yeah, it was... that was actually the same production company that did the ABSA ones, and they are Jump Productions, which do really large South African... Like, when you shoot a commercial normally, most of them it's shot, say... In a day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just a long day, multiple locations still, but one day. That Castle Lager one was 7 days across the whole country.
Sure.
You know, from suspension bridges and KZN through to desert shots in the Karoo. And it was awesome.
So this gets into like people's top.
Yeah, it was a nice kind of like feely good one. And then it's got that thing of me running on a treadmill. And then the next scene, I'm in the hospital.
Yes.
With a guy whose leg's in traction.
Totally. Yeah. I was going to say, that was like designed for you.
Exactly. Then a few months later, it's me in traction.
Oh, really? So that was just before?
Yeah.
Yikes. Just.
Yeah,
I was like jealous of all the attention he was getting.
I was like, I could do this.
I'll have lads around with castles all the time.
But yeah, that was a cool advert. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. I like that this particular company, if it's the same that did the ABSA one, they just love getting you to do fitness related.
Yeah. It's quite strange because this is what I've recognized, at least in the South African context, and I'm sure it is internationally, but internationally, just so many more people, it's that harder to essentially establish yourself with people. So I'm not saying I'm a great actor or whatever the case is, but evidently we enjoyed working.
Yeah.
And they were like, he can be that guy. Yeah. So when I got the ABSA investments, so we say gig, whatever the case is, it had gone through the production company and they knew who they were working with. So obviously there's a value in a smallish industry of sorts here and a limited amount of people. And I've done enough adverts with enough people that I think folks trust me. And that means I get perhaps an inflated amount of work now from it. So it's one of the benefits. Yeah.
Let's do the very last one. And in this, your wife has trusted you to go fetch the valuables in a burning house. The phrase is for the bold.
Oh, that was, I know where that is. That wasn't, that was actually Ryan Kruger had put together a submission thing for Doritos.
Yes, it was Doritos.
Yeah.
Now that is the only one of the ones that I watched, and it looks like I watched quite a few, where you had a speaking role.
Yeah.
Was it an American accent?
I don't know. I can tell you one thing about that.
It definitely didn't look like America where the house was. And yet, I'm sure you guys spoke in American accents.
I was very, very high.
Really?
I just had shoulder surgery.
I wonder you grabbed all the Doritos.
Yeah, I just had shoulder surgery and was literally on like a, what's it called? That's an OxyContin and stuff like that.
Okay.
Ridiculously strong painkillers. And I'd agreed to assisting in this and I wasn't in a good mood. And Ryan actually messaged me afterwards. That was like a half hour thing, come and help him out or something. Yeah. And he messaged me back afterwards. And what I hadn't been aware of was like the cameras were sort of just fixed and rolling. And whilst I'm in the background in between takes, I'm just like sitting here. And he said, I could see you were so... He didn't want to be there. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't want to be there. You know, it was...
I really, really like the idea that this could have been an ad for genuine like insurance or something. Yeah. But you were so high that you ran into the set and ran out with Doritos. You were meant to grab like the albums and the computer and the safe. And he's like, wait a minute, there's an ad for Doritos in this.
That was his plan, yeah.
He's changed it on the day. Anyway, that was What Ads is Martin Nodden.
Okay.
Fun can be found in streeping around.
So the other day when I was streeping around, I went to the KFC to get some finger-licking good food.
Nice.
As one does. And once again, I kind of encountered this idea that KFC, Sturkinikor, and some other brands do, where you'll be purchasing something, and then there'll be the option to give a little extra to charity.
Yeah.
And I just want to get your thoughts on that, because... for starters, in KFC, I've recognized one thing, is that when I go for the slightly more expensive meal, they'll always say, don't want to add hope.
Yeah.
But if I go for like the Streetwise 2, they don't bother to ask me. They go, oh, this guy, he's not going to have enough money
He's got no hope of his own.
Yeah.
He can't give any.
He's bought exact change with him. There's no way he's going to be able to ask, you know.
He's but Streetwise.
I feel guilty when I don't, you know, add the little extra.
I think if they've asked you, you can't then say no. Surely.
I've done it once.
You should feel guilty for that. If they've said, do you want to add hope to a child's life? And you just go, no. It's like, it's almost impossible. It's like a rand or something, isn't it?
It's 2 rand, yeah.
So that's insane. I don't know if I would go out of my way to say, oh, and could you add a little hope to that, please?
Yes, yeah.
I don't know if I'm at that level of philanthropy.
So but you basically...
If they ask, I'm definitely not saying no.
All right, because I did it once. I did feel quite rotten inside. But in my defense,
that
I
might
like,
just have been the KFC.
In my defense, I like it when like the number that goes off of my credit card is like a rounded number.
Tell that to you know, that kid.
Because KFC do it and Sturkinikor do it when you book tickets. I think you can add an extra 2 rand and then some kid gets glasses.
I mean, if I'm giving it KFC, I'm hoping that the money's going to the poor chickens at the farm somewhere.
Oh, they don't have chickens at farms anymore.
Oh, really?
Are we past that? Way past having chickens at farms.
Yeah. Labs now.
It's all labs.
Oh, cool. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Fine with labs.
It's alien technology. I think there's something in the human element because I don't find that I often add extra to a movie card.
Okay, yeah.
But it's like a bit begrudging. I know with KFC, I'm happy to pay the amount for the amount of satisfaction I'm getting. Yeah. With movies, you feel like you're being ripped off sometimes. You know, like, especially before you've seen the movie. Like, I've eaten KFC. I know that I'm going to be happy at the end of it. But when I'm booking to see a movie, I don't know if it's going to be a nice cinema, if the reels are going to play in the right order.
And if anything, not giving the donation for the kid to be able to get the glasses to watch the film is like, you might be saving that kid from a bad film.
Right, he watched Avatar.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to give this kid glasses and he's so excited and he has to go to the obligatory Sturkinikor movie and he's sitting there going like, I can see for this?
Yeah.
What a waste.
I could be outside right now. Yeah. That'd be good too. So I don't often add to the Sturkinikor ticket because you're already spending like $200 or something.
Okay. Can I tell you what one made me feel the most guilty in me not donating? Is Discovery, they've stopped doing it now, and I'm really glad they have, because this was a whole new level of guilt. Discovery, you might be aware of this, if you do certain activities during your week, you kind of earn points if they're healthy activities, and then they potentially give you a free voucher for Kauai, or you can get popcorn at Sturkinikor. I think a coffee from Vita, all sorts of things. No, Discovery are not sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah, this is not an ad.
I'm just kind of filling you in with what is possible.
Yeah.
Now, for a while, one of the things you could claim next to like free smoothie, free coffee, free popcorn was donate some money to charity. So the free thing that you could get, you were then giving to someone
else. That is a rough rough choice.
But just imagine how pious you would feel. That would be better than any kawaii smoothie. You would be glowing with your piousness.
If you'd given.
Yeah. You'd given something that you'd like flipping worked. You spent thousands of steps.
That's the thing. All I did was try to be healthy.
Yeah.
It's like I've spent no money to deserve the smoothie. So surely I should then give it to charity.
Yeah.
I didn't. But I mean, surely I should.
Well, it's a good smoothie.
It is a good smoothie. Discovery shouldn't put you in that position to begin with.
No. Also, why are they adding like movie popcorn? Why are Discovery tied to sitting sedentary in the dark for 2 hours?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Vitality kids get in free to go watch a movie. That's not a healthy like childhood.
Oh, but it's healthier for the parents, though.
Yeah, I guess.
It's far less stressful for them. Yeah.
Okay. Also, like when they say teens and then those three silhouettes walk past, those guys are like 30 years old.
Yeah, definitely.
Those are not teens.
Yeah.
Come inside the Brother Street Warehouse of Rejected Ideas.
Welcome to the Warehouse of Rejected Ideas. This is where we will present ideas that are just bad. They're bad ideas. And today's category, because I am in Thailand, as we discussed earlier, is rejected travel agent brochures or experiences.
Okay.
Who's got one?
I've definitely got one. So what often happens is when you talk to people about going to a new place or whatever, something that they'll often say is that they really want to experience what it's like to like really live there, like really live in that place.
Yeah.
And so normally when they say that, they mean, I want to stay at an Airbnb and eat some local food. That's basically what they mean. But imagine if your travel agent was like, cool, I got you. All right. Here, I've got your tickets. I've got your job as a cashier at a KFC for the duration of your holiday. So you can go work there. You can go home afterwards and watch some South African telly, go to bed, and then start the same thing the next day.
I mean, do you have something against KFC today? That's the first question I want to know.
It's just that I thought that was like a middle of the line job. It wasn't anything too fancy. It wasn't anything too not fancy.
So that's the holiday experience to South Africa.
Yeah.
Work at a KFC.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's something you would kind of get to experience a bit of, you know, might get some rush hour traffic. Yay. Yeah. And, you know, that's that kind of thing. But it also, I don't know if it would be a pleasant experience. I don't think you'd get the experience you were hoping for.
Yeah, what do people actually want from that kind of... Because I also, I say similar things about like the UK.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've been to the UK on a couple of occasions, but always as very much the tourist.
Yeah.
I play the character, the tourist. I walk around holding big maps and things like that. And I was like, I'd like to live there for a bit. But that means, you know, it's a very stressful lifestyle. You got to start earning pounds. You got to buy monthly travel cards.
You've got to be okay with like there never being any sun.
Never any sun. Yeah. I don't like it. So the true living experience.
Rejected.
That is rejected.
Well, I also with, you know, the agent, if you were in her shop and there was a kind of a row of brochures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What my idea is that you kind of, you pick it up thinking that it's going to be great, but you don't read the small print.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the first one. Trek the Great Wall of China town. So you sign up for this thing and you end up doing a kind of perimeter tour of Chinatown. You've got to really watch out for the electric fence.
I need to. Is this Chinatown in America?
It's in Ottery.
Chinatown Ottery.
Yeah.
Your local shopping center. Chinatown.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, and it'll be a guided tour. But it maybe take the afternoon.
I only ever go to Chinatown when I need to buy forfeits for people for their bachelor weekends. Yeah.
I think that's why those places exist.
It's just so you can buy some weird egg thing.
Also,
why are
₹5 stores, why are some items more than ₹5 in there?
I think 5's the minimum.
Well, that's really just misleading.
Let's say you pick up the next brochure in this agent's office.
Yeah.
See Moscow. And yes, you will end up in a field with a very sedentary cow covered in moss.
I thought it was like a colored brochure, like, see Moscow?
Potentially a more dangerous option would be your jet ski holiday.
Yeah.
Which is where you water ski behind a jet. Terrifying. And of course, you know, if you go for a koyaking holiday.
Oh, sorry?
It's a koyaking holiday.
Yeah. What?
Well, you know, when you're very shy, but you need to see the king of the yaks.
Oh my word!
You'll go to the koi yak.
Hectic. All right,
so, king of the yaks.
Yeah. So you've basically gone to a travel agent that loves puns.
Oh yes. Yeah.
I see.
I think I'd go on the koi yaking one out of those four.
That'd be good.
Yeah. That's quite cool. Well, I think a bad experience would be the authentic pirate experience. They romanticize it in films, you know, swashbuckling peg legs and the like, parrots on shoulders,
Muppet's Treasure Island,
skull and crossbones, yeah, lots of pieces of eight, but really it's pieces of AK-47 and
modern day pirates.
Yeah, it's full on. It's
Captain Somali, Phillips style.
It's Somali Captain Phillips style pirating. And yeah, there's no fun to be had. It's just a lot of murder,
wow,
and theft.
Although that said,
you think it's quite fun.
Well, do you think they really hate their jobs? I mean, because they could pick something different. They've chosen to sort of
think
be
jobs are scarce. Possibly the pool isn't as deep.
As in these, I mean, I've never been to Somalia.
The developed world.
But, you know, I'm sure there are other options where you don't have to go pirate. But I agree with you, it would be a terrible experience.
Yeah. Unless you worked your way up to the top.
Oh, you fully embraced the pirate nature of the holiday. And in fact, but then it's not a holiday. Then it's just work.
You start as a deckhand. You're swabbing the deck.
Yeah. Does that still happen? I mean, is the deck bleeding that much?
I think there's blood on it. I don't think it's the deck's blood.
It's literally swabbing the deck.
But it is blood. I don't know. Rejected.
So often when you go to a travel agent place, they will tell you of some sort of theatrical productions that you could go watch.
Mm.
And I think a good idea for a rejected suggestion from a travel agent would be to go watch a grade one music recital. Because it's technically, you know, it's slightly theatrical, slightly musical. There's an element of performance to it. But that element of performance is very tiny, about as tiny as the children involved.
Right.
And if you've ever been to a grade one music recital, the chances are that it's not going to be very complicated music. It's not going to be very, it's not going to be played very well.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you might hear the same song more than once, played by different children, but called a different name.
Totally.
If not the only song of the day.
Yeah. So you might go, here is Cynthia. She'll be playing Jingle Bells. And then you hear it and it's like, the song only has eight notes and she's maybe only gotten four of them right. And then it's like, she's gone, everyone claps. Cynthia's parents are thrilled because they're like,
it's 50%.
That's a pass.
And then a little old Norman comes up there and he plays Crunchy Flakes, which is just Jingle Bells with a different title.
Crunchy Flakes.
Crunchy Flakes.
I don't remember that one. How does that one go again?
Crunchy Flakes. Crunchy Flakes. Yeah. Put them in your mouth.
Oh, yes.
Don't put them up your bum.
Oh, really?
Because the doctor will be glum. Hey.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sure.
So okay. That would be bad. Rejected.
I mean, it's not only grade one music recitals where that's a problem, the repetition. I once went to a magic college. The college was magic, and it was the college of magic.
Hogwarts.
And yeah, Hogwarts happens to be here on Lansdowne Road. It's amazing. And realized kind of halfway through a recital that these parents, who seemed so amazed at all the magic we were doing, were seeing the same trick over and over and over again. We really learned like five tricks that year. Shame.
Was it the one with the
that
string?
Was the real magic. The acting of the parents watching. Ooh.
Ooh, he made that long string, but
why is it always
string?
The three of diamonds? That's so weird. Another option, Journey to the Center of the World.
Ooh.
Like that film with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I think you find it originally had Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
Well, that might be the case.
But yeah, but why are you bringing up the sequel when you could
be... Because I prefer when The Rock takes over from Brendan Fraser. I prefer The Scorpion King. Journey to the Center of the World. Anyway, it all sounds
Henry
like
Henry of the
fun.
Jungle.
You've got your khaki shorts on.
Yeah.
You've got your backpack.
Wait, is this a pair of shorts made entirely out of car keys?
Yeah. It's so hard to say a sentence without getting called for puns. Hard hat. because, you know, for safety.
Yeah.
And you make your way down to the center of the world.
Yeah.
At which point you die instantly because it's flipping hot in there. I think oxygen is scarce too.
Is it because someone left the stove on?
Yeah. Rejected.
So a while back we had to record a song for corporate, and what we like to do is we go to Christchurch, Kenilworth,
yep,
where our keyboardist... Why are you laughing, Kurt?
Carry on.
It's just like... Can I not say Christchurch, Kenilworth?
It's like it's in Australia or something.
No, well, Christchurch, Kenilworth famously had... their lead pastor guy was a guy called Duncan McLee, who used to speak like that. Welcome to Christchurch, Kenilworth.
I think it's been exaggerated over the years. If you had to go listen to him back to the original, like, that's not how he sounds, yeah, is it?
Welcome to Christchurch, Kenilworth. It's time to read from the Book of Bogans, you bloody bogans.
Oh, Duncan.
There you go. Anyway, so we at our keyboardist set up a studio there, so often when we've got street related things to record, we will go to the studio to record it. And what he actually did is, you guys have a building called the Annex, which is basically a bunch of classrooms that I'm guessing is used for Sunday school, but he took one of these really small classrooms and he turned it into a studio, which is perfect. But we've got a question for you, Andrew Kirk, because you, as far as I know, go to Christchurch, Kenilworth, even though Duncan McLee has long since left. We want to know, is Christchurch, Kenilworth haunted? Do you know, just offhand, have you had any run-ins with some spooks while you've been there?
I personally haven't, but, you know, it's a very old building.
Yeah.
And old buildings tend to attract spookies.
I think you personally haven't used the recording studio then.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Because it's definitely haunted when you're using that recording studio.
I mean, the Holy Ghost is there.
In a big way. Is he moving filing cabinets around by any chance?
I can't say. He moves in mysterious ways.
So we chatted to one of our guests on this podcast when we were in Grahamstown about, I think, just ghosts in general.
Yeah.
And we'd quite recently been in the studio, so it was fresh on our minds.
Yeah.
But it is scary. Because there's nothing there when you go outside.
So we will, to put
just
you in
explain
context.
Explain what's happening. Yeah.
So we're busy recording a song and it's quite quiet in between takes.
I say, it's quite groovy. The song's going well.
It's quite quiet in between takes and you'll just hear like a rustling of like what sounds like windows being opened vigorously and closed and doors banging. And you'd be like, okay, clearly it's windy outside. I'm going to go check and, you know, stop whatever is making that noise. You'll go and then there'll be nothing there.
Then it starts sounding like footsteps and kind of picking up a box and putting it down.
And like moving and objects.
There's
like
no one there.
From one place to another and you'll go and there's still no one there.
Now, at one point I went upstairs to check out if it was upstairs.
Yeah.
And there was nothing upstairs. Ghosts.
Genuinely, that's the only logical explanation is that it's haunted. And I'm just surprised that you've been going there for so long and haven't noticed that it's haunted. Have you never been like on tea or coffee duty and then you like put your spoon into stir the person's tea and then you look back and look again and the spoon's gone or something like that? It might just be like small hauntings. Maybe it's when there are lots of people there, like on a Sunday when everyone's gathered, the ghosts are sort of quieter or like less easy to spot or something like that.
Right. Well, you mentioned like filing cabinets and moving boxes. This sounds like quite kind of an administrative ghost. Maybe it's like a secretary that died years ago that used to work in the church. It's just carrying on.
It's definitely putting the spoon back in the drawer. This is how we lose spoons.
I've often thought about ghosts. I think if I ever do a stand-up routine, I'd like to do a stand-up routine about ghosts because they are genuinely perplexing. Like what about the undead makes you want to go around just moving stuff?
You're immediately assuming that they're real.
Well, I'm immediately assuming that everything that gets said about ghosts is that I walked into my kitchen and my chair was just levitating and then moved from one place to another and the kettle went from... And it's like, well, surely there are better things you can do as a ghost than just move around people's furniture.
But if you were a ghost and you were trying to get someone's attention, that's the first thing you do.
What are you trying to get people's attention for?
Yeah.
You want to freak them out.
But why are you wanting to freak
them out?
Are you
going to become the meddling ghost?
Yeah. What other kind of ghost could you be?
Friendly ghost?
Placid ghost.
What's a friendly ghost going to do? You're going to watch a movie together. You're not going to know he's there.
But That's perfect. If I was a ghost, I could watch all those lovely films. And then, do you know what?
That is like being friend zoned so hard.
Simon, if you're ever a ghost, would you please watch Ghost? I think finally you can kind of watch that film. Oh,
I found out something that you're going to love to hear.
What's that?
I own a copy of Ghost.
What? How is that possible?
When I signed up for this one streaming service that I'm part of, I had to pick like five films
that I could get Ghost.
For free. And one of them was Ghost. Never watched it still.
Well, still.
But I actually own it. I literally own it.
It's one step closer. One small, small step closer. I think when you are a ghost, the whole point of it is that you're somehow between planes. At least that's one plane of thought, train of thought. And
getting, an automobile of thought.
I'm getting a little bit confused with my planes, trains. And I think when you're trying to, you know, if you're moving stuff around or you're freaking people out or trying to help them, that's all too in this realm.
Yeah.
Like if you're the placid ghost, it just kind of goes, you're a little bit closer to accepting your fate. And maybe you can move on. No?
So
maybe.
You think that ghosts should not move things around. They should just kind of chill and not be ghosts.
The more you try to move tangible things in like the living, the more you're trying, the more you're kind of staying in that.
Yeah, but I mean, if
arena,
a ghost is not moving things around or not jangling chains, is it even a ghost?
the great philosophical question.
I like the ghosts.
Jangling chains.
Yeah.
I like the ghosts.
I've seen Muppet's Christmas Carol.
That's true.
I like the ghosts that play piano at night. I would prefer it.
What? That's just a pianola.
No,
that's just your dad pushing the pedals.
Definitely, you hear the stories of the people that live in those big houses and then there's like the piano plays in the middle of the night. I think that's great. What they should really just do is do it slightly earlier in the day and maybe like a grade one recital.
Yep. Yeah, like a matinee or something.
You never hear about that with people living in small houses though, do you? It never happens to people who aren't in a mansion.
It's true. You have to walk a long way to see what the thing finally is.
Yeah. Ghosts like their space. That's why they choose these bigger places. For example, the mansions and the Christchurch Kingdom.
Whoa. That's scary. That is scary. That's something moving. Anyway, that's not a ghost. That's the ghost.
Hey!
The quiz.
Ghostly quiz. It's time for the quiz. It's the Angelina Jolie quiz this week.
She looks like a ghost. Have you seen her lately?
Her lips are haunted.
She's looking more and more like Morticia Adams.
I don't know who that is, but
the Adams family mom.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna start with Angelounder Wanley. And the first question, which is just
I don't think I like these anymore. They stopped working a while ago.
The first general knowledge question about Angelina Jolie is which famous actor is her father?
Beep.
Dylan.
Boyd.
Is the correct
the
answer.
The actor.
Yes, that's right. Second question is, she had an obsessive crush on what Star Trek character?
Beep.
Simon.
Spock.
Yes, that's correct.
Obviously.
Spock.
This episode's going to run short.
Angelina had some interesting hobbies, from collecting different types of what to what?
Butterflies.
Is incorrect.
Wait, what did you say near the end there?
So there's two things that she collected. Two Beeps. Interesting things.
Stamps and coins.
Is incorrect. On both counts.
Dead animals.
Incorrect.
Beep. Puzzles. And muzzles.
Incorrect.
Did they rhyme? The two things. Posters and coasters.
They didn't, but that's great. We have talked about one of these items, unusual items, in this podcast, I think.
Beep. Tiramisu.
I don't think we've ever said tiramisu on the podcast.
Toilet seats?
No.
Did she collect toilet seats?
You know, I was talking about a show earlier.
Beep. Bongos and congos.
bass guitars, instruments.
You saw them at the market.
Beep knives.
Yes, that's
I
great.
Beeped
I beeped first.
I beeped first.
Dylan got the point.
Both points, please, because we both beeped.
Well, what
at the
is
same
it? Knives to knives?
No, it's not.
What a range of things she collected.
No, the other thing is also. Books. You're not going to get it.
Okay. From
gonna
knives
get it.
To books.
I'm basically going to say books and you're going to get books. So let's move on.
Something you can read might have been a clue.
Okay. The final question.
The back of a shampoo bottle.
The final question is, Brangelina sold the rights for the first images of their twins to People and Hello magazines for how much?
Beep.
Simon.
It was, if I'm correct, it was...
Well, I don't own that.
What did you say?
I'm giving clues.
What did you say?
Don't repeat, clue. Don't
it's
repeat
an
the
equal clue.
Clue.
What did you say?
It's not an equal clue.
Yeah, because I didn't hear it. Yeah. It's
are we talking millions?
Yeah. I was going to go for 3.2 million.
Okay.
Okay. I think it was more than that.
No.
I think it was 3.4 million.
Well, interestingly, it was 14 million. So, Dylan,
that's
gets the point.
It's quite far under 14, though.
Not as far as 3.2. <Pittance.
laughs> Round two Wowzers. Is first, best, most. And so these are the first, best, or most movies she's been involved with. So here are the first three movies that she was involved with. Okay, you need to tell me which was first.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Hackers, Looking to Get Out, and Without Evidence.
Beep.
Simon.
Hackers.
Hackers.
Is that part of a trilogy? Because it almost sounds like Hackers, Looking to Get Out, Without Evidence. It's all like the police files of Angelina Jolie. I'm going to go with Looking to Get Out.
Is the correct answer.
No.
2 points there.
Yes, man.
It was an 82.
She wasn't any yes, man.
Quite a while. Okay, now the best movies according to IMDb. Interestingly... Yeah. I switched things around for this one just to make it interesting. And these are the worst movies that she's been involved with on IMDb. Okay? So here we go.
You know something's interesting when the guy has to tell you twice in a sentence that it's going to be interesting.
Interesting.
I just feel like you started this whole round saying it's time for, you know, first, best, most, whatever. And that was not even true.
Yeah.
Aside to the audience, I forgot to reset the sorting mode on IMDb.
Oh, really?
So it's still in decreasing. But this is right. So it's still it's the worst movies that she's been involved with. So you have to guess the worst. Here we go. Here are the options. It's going to be harder because you won't have probably heard of them. Without Evidence makes another appearance.
Nice.
Lovesick and Confessions of an Action Star. Dylan.
Confessions of an Action Star. All right. The flipping worst.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh.
All right.
For the safe 1 point.
What was the last one he said?
Follow me into battle.
I can't remember.
It was Confessions of an Action Star.
I'm going to go with Confessions of an Action Star because I feel like Andrew didn't bother to jumble up the order when he created this.
You cracked the code, the Da Vinci code.
Which would mean that whatever he said last was the last thing on the list.
Well, that is not true, but it is correct.
Yeah, whatever.
Sweet.
Okay, right. And now it's the money. Unfortunately, this is correct order. So this is the movie that has made the most money that she's been involved with. So sure. Here are the options. Okay.
Yeah.
Jumbled up order.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, the double bluff.
Yeah.
He's batting his eyebrows at us.
All right. Here are the options. Maleficent. Kung Fu Panda and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Beep.
Simon.
I'm going to go for... Is this opening box office?
This is gross.
Gross earnings so far.
Domestic or international?
I feel like... Kung Fu Panda would have made the most out of those three.
All right.
I agree. So I'm going to take the safe one.
Well, unfortunately, it's incorrect. It was Maleficent.
No!
Whatever!
241 million. So, no points there. Okay, we're going to move on to round three, which is finish the...
Yeah.
Yeah, finish the quote. So, the first quote is, when other little girls wanted to be ballet dancers, I kind of wanted to be a...
corpse.
Dylan, you are very close. Incorrect. Dylan?
A ghost.
Dylan?
A ghost.
It's incorrect, Simon.
Beep, a goth.
It's emo. It's supernatural in that kind of sphere.
Skeleton.
It's incorrect.
Beep, a voodoo doll.
Incorrect, Simon.
Could I have it for like the first thing I said?
No.
Beep, a witch.
No.
Yeah,
it's incorrect.
Close.
It's incorrect.
That must be close.
Beep,
a ghoul.
Very popular.
Very
in
popular.
Movies.
A fidget spinner.
It's incorrect.
Beep, a vampire.
Is the right answer.
Yes.
I'll take a point.
No, you won't. Okay. The second quote is, what nourishes me also...
Beep, blood.
Dylan.
What?
Incorrect.
What nourishes me also kills me.
I'm going to give it to you. Destroys me. It's close enough.
Yeah. I know who will.
I said hinders me. Would that have got me anything?
No.
Sorry. No. Kills is closer to destroys.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, the third quote is, I always play women I would...
Beep.
Simon.
Admire.
Incorrect.
Want to be friends with.
It's incorrect. Beep.
always play a woman I would aspire to. No, it's the same as Maya. Hey?
Date
is the right answer. Okay, we're moving on to round four, which is distant relative. We're going to be talking about Maleficent, which is a film.
Yes.
Yeah, highest grossing US domestic.
Okay, the first fact about this is the contacts that Angelina wore during filming were based off which animal which has horizontal pupils? Dylan.
Cat.
Incorrect.
Beep a snake.
Incorrect.
Oh, so I'd have said snake twice.
Beep a bat.
No. A crocodile.
This is a kind of domesticated farm animal.
Beep.
Simon.
Sheep? A domesticated farm animal must be a... Badger!
What did you say? Sheep still?
Is incorrect. Beep a cow. Close. Is incorrect.
Beep a chicken.
A donkey. No.
Is incorrect.
Beep a mule.
No.
A sheepdog.
No.
Beep a rooster.
You were closest with sheep, but you're all wrong so far.
Goat.
Is the right answer.
Yeah, because of the horns.
Goat eyes.
The horns on the outfit. I should get this. I watched this the other day, actually.
Okay, well, it's not helping.
It was Maleficent.
second fact is, what does Maleficent, from the Latin Maleficentia, mean?
Beep.
Dylan.
Evil one.
I'm going to...
Means tortured soul?
No, I'm going to give it to Dylan. It was evil doing, and so that's pretty close.
That's pretty darn close.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. I'd give it to him as well.
Okay, the third fact is, when filming Maleficent, Disney needed a child to play young Aurora.
Beep, 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 her
Simon.
Daughter. Beep, 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 her
is
daughter.
Is the right answer.
Beep, 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 her daughter.
It's like the longest question I've ever had in the quiz, and you answered it early, so that's great. And the final question is, Maleficent is based on the Sleeping Beauty fable based on a novel written in what year?
Beep.
Simon. Always first with a beep.
It was written in 1834.
1834.
I'm going to say it was written in 1801.
Wow. Make
you do some math, hopefully.
You did a bit of a jump there. The math, unfortunately, is really not involved because it was 1527.
So I
Dylan,
took it.
So Dylan gets the point.
Yes. What?
And Dylan wins the quiz.
Yes.
10 points to 6.
Wow. Yes.
Well done, Dylan.
Yes. And
you are a sleeping beauty.
As there is only 60 seconds left of this podcast, I'll be gone in 60 seconds. Isn't she in that?
Yeah.
There we go. That kind of works.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Well,
had fun.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoyed this, you can donate to us on our Brother Street website. There's a donate button. Just click it. Or you can email in, which would be great, to podcast@brotherstreet.com. And be sure to catch us in 2 weeks' time with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.